The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate it for you allowing us to be part of your mornings each and every Monday through Friday here on a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Also have the best listeners in the game via tweet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Teasers and parlays. Thank you, gents, for an awesome pod. Talking about the Beating the Book NFL Draft Podcast. The top five exacta of Caleb Daniels, Harrison Neighbors May, 500-1. If you want absolute chaos as discussed, thank you for all your great work and let's cash some tickets. By the way, just to let you know what he's talking about, on the podcast, I sort of goaded both Drew and Luke into what's the nutty scenario that blows this whole thing up. And it was the Patriots staying at three. If the Lakers stayed at three, that'd be a real story. Patriots staying at three and drafting Marvin Harrison. And if that happened, what is the domino effect of that? And Drew's, again, if you missed it from when Drew was on, his knee jerk to that was if they go Harrison three, the Cardinals fiending for a wide receiver are going to take Neighbors four, which I know you would hate. That option did not exist at BetMGM in Nevada. There was no exacta that had Harrison three, Neighbors four. So the closest you could get here was after Harrison three. So Williams, Jaden, Harrison three was sort of a scenario where it went four would end up being Drake May, followed by either Neighbors or Alt kind of thing. But they didn't allow you to take Neighbors at four after Harrison. So that didn't even exist. James Fraction. Hey, Gil, I'm invested with you in the Cleveland most wins in March and April investment, and I'm a Yankees fan. I've never been so excited about my Yanks getting beat by the A's in April in my life. Go Gil's Guardians. Thank you. We will talk to Paul Spoor about that bet coming up a little later on. Good news, bad news. Good news, Guardians control their own destiny for the first time. Bad news, there's still seven more games. And there's a little weather looming, too, which is bothering me. Stefan Reed, I don't have a dog in the hunt, but I find myself rooting for your Indians. Guardians wager, he says. Got home today and grabbed Oakland +190 in game just to have action and hopefully win and have it help you as well. So nice of people to, like, even if they're not invested in the bet, jumping on. And 3JackH3131, as always, great job with the NFL Draft Podcast. Shout out to Drew and Luke with all the great insights. And Stephen Vegas agrees, best two basketball games ever last night, back-to-back, doubleheader.
Yeah, it's a hell of a duo on the pod yesterday.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yep. And Cleve TA Thursday to talk NFL draft with us as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the Premier League is playing games midweek, so we must bring in our buddy Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast and, of course, True Media Networks. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. What's happening, Paulie? Oh, we don't hear Paul. Paul, we don't hear your audio. Mute? No, nothing.
So you're saying I need to turn my mic
there
on?
There you go. That is what I was saying. Yes.
All right. I'm just starting my draft prep this week. You know, just been out of the loop trying to figure out. I don't know what's going on. Looks like the Dolphins are hoping an O-lineman falls to 21, something like that. So, but it's always fun. I just am not as dialed in as I have been.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been killing it in soccer, though, right? Like, this has been a great stretch.
Yeah, we're up about 10 units for the year in 2024. So hit two out of three last week on the Premier League.
Can we talk about, before we get into your picks, though, because obviously we've had a couple results here since, right, at the top.
Yeah.
A couple not convincing, but wins nonetheless. And FA Cup involved, the third team was idle. Explain to us.
Yeah, so City didn't play in the Premier League this past weekend because they had an FA Cup semifinal that they won against Chelsea. But Arsenal beat Wolves and Liverpool beat Fulham, so they held serve, but were not convincing in any stretch. You know, Liverpool won 3-1, but they just kind of converted all three of their half chances and kind of walked in from there. So nothing was very appealing in that sense. Like, if you have Arsenal, I have an Arsenal future. If you have that, I don't feel a whole lot better about it just based on that win, even though the odds got shorter for them. Arsenal was like +380, 390. They're down to +330 or so. That's just the nature of, you know, there's half a dozen games or fewer left, and any points you pick up make a big difference. So City's still a -200 favorite, and I think deservedly so. But, you know, the table looks a little closer because City has a game in hand right now.
Yeah, DraftKings, Man City -200. Arsenal +330 and Liverpool +450. But as you say, okay, so five games left for Arsenal and Liverpool. They're at 74 points. Six games left for Man City. They're at 73 points, 1 point behind. So it's that game in hand that ultimately makes them the favorite. Have we ever had a three-team race this close this late?
Not recently. There was one, and I forget the year, in the 90s, kind of before the Premier League, like before I was watching it, before most people in America were able to watch it. So I know there was one, you know, in our lifetimes, but not in kind of our general memory as American soccer fans.
Right. So what you're trying to say, what you're suggesting here, Paul, is that as Americans, we didn't even know the Premier League existed in 1990.
I mean, it was TV. Like, I literally couldn't watch Premier League games because they were on, you know, whatever Fox Soccer World channel that I couldn't get. I couldn't watch them until like 06 or something like that, just based on like the TV services available and things like that. So, yeah, they really blew up in the last, you know, 15 or so years as far as the Premier League's popularity in the U.S. goes.
All right, let's get to it. Today, Arsenal, one of the teams we just mentioned, tied for the lead right now. Arsenal plays Chelsea. What is your play on this, sir?
Yeah, so I'm kind of on this, at the spot where I'm fading Arsenal just because, well, A, their numbers are trending down. In five of the last six games, 1.6 expected goals or fewer. And compare that to the first 27 games when they topped that mark in 70% of the games. So their attack is just, the numbers are not as good. They don't pass the eye test as much. Bukayo Saka, their star winger on the right side, just doesn't look, he just looks worn down. You know, it's the end of the season. It's a long season, et cetera. So they just don't look as good and their numbers aren't as good. So I'm playing the draw in this one at plus 400.
Ooh.
It kind of goes against, you know, usually I like to take the better team on the road. You know, the home crowd balances out the advantage, et cetera. But I just think Arsenal is kind of cooked. I mean, don't tell your valet guy. Don't tell him.
Yeah, well.
But it just, that's a good price. Arsenal has not been putting up the numbers offensively. Just, I mean, they're not going to blow Chelsea out. Like, Chelsea's going to hang around this one. They're the fourth or fifth best team probably in the league this season, even though the standings don't necessarily reflect that. So, yeah, you give me a huge number on a draw like that, I will take plus 400 in Arsenal Chelsea for the draw.
Wow, plus 4-1 Arsenal Chelsea draw today. He is go my guy downstairs is going to be a mess when I get home. My God,
yeah, sorry.
All right, Arsenal Chelsea 4-1 draw today. Tomorrow, speaking of which, Liverpool is also in action. They're taking on Everton. What do you got here?
So this is one of the great rivalries in English soccer. It's I probably said this before, but it boggles my mind. These two stadiums are less than a mile apart. Like, they're across, it's a park or a cemetery or something. Less than a mile. You can walk there in like 15 minutes. It's wild.
That's amazing.
But it is. Yeah. We as Americans don't have including myself, don't have a great sense of how tight England is and how many soccer stadiums there are. I mean, it's like high school football stadiums in Texas or something like that. There's so many stadiums and teams and all that.
In my head, I'm rifling through.
Well, how many in London alone? Right, Paul? I mean, there's...
Just in the Premier League, there's six or seven years. You know, it obviously varies. And there's probably, you know, multiples of that when you go on down just through the top four leagues.
I'm going through, like, which, in American professional sports, which are the two closest, like, competing teams? I guess you...
Wrigley and Comiskey or whatever it's called now?
Are Wrigley and Comiskey closer than... the Bronx and Queens, but it's one of those, right?
Probably. Yeah,
I'm on.
It's got to be one of those.
Yeah, Kelly's got the. Gonna go check it out for us.
You figure that out. I'm gonna take the under in Everton Liverpool at under two and a half at plus 155.
Yeah,
I know I've been taking overs a lot, but this is kind of a rivalry specific thing. Last four matches between these teams have had two or fewer goals since Jurgen Klopp came to Liverpool. Five of the seven at Goodison Park, where Everton plays, have had one or fewer goals. Everton can't score. They're dead last in total goals per game, offense and defense combined. Both just take a lot of shots from outside the box. And like I said, Liverpool didn't look great against Fulham, so I think they may be winding down a little bit. This is just kind of a classic rock fight of a rivalry, so under 2.5 plus 155.
By the way, it's probably, if you were allowed to cross the bay, it's probably the Giants and the A's.
Yeah, that might be.
But instead, you have to go over the Bay Bridge, though, so maybe not.
Right.
Okay, so Arsenal-Chelsea draw today. Arsenal tied with Liverpool. You got them under 2.5 goals against Everton. Less than a mile away, those two. Under 2.5 goals tomorrow at plus 155. Shop around for the best price. You have another one tomorrow as well.
This is Manchester United is hosting Sheffield United. Sheffield's in dead last place. They're not officially relegated, but they will be, like, their numbers off the board most places as far as that goes. But I like Sheffield United getting a goal and a half at -105. Man United has been smoking mirrors all season. They advanced to the FA Cup final over the weekend, even though they really got outplayed by Coventry. But Man United got by on penalty kicks despite blowing a 3-goal lead. So Manchester United, in expected goal difference, they are 16th in the Premier League this season. Now, that overstates things a little bit, but it goes to the fact that they're just not very good on the whole. Been very fortunate in a lot of different ways. And at home, they have played 15 home games in the league. Only twice have they won by multiple goals. And they beat Forest by 1 goal, beat Luton by 1 goal. So those are a couple similarly relegation-threatened teams to where Sheffield United is. So Sheffield United, I'll lay the goal and a half at -105, even on the road.
Getting the goal and a half, right? Not laying the goal and a half. Getting
Yes. Thank you. Yes, getting the goal and a half.
And Sheffield United, they're relegated. There's barely any way they can get out of not being relegated. So, like, do you worry about motivation there at all?
Not really. I think, you know, they're still fighting the good fight, even though they need about 100,000 things to go right to actually not get relegated, but not yet, because it's not official. So, you know, they're still at least putting up a good show.
Okay. Arsenal Chelsea draw today, 4-1. Tomorrow, Everton Liverpool under 2.5 goals, and Sheffield getting the goal and a half at Man U. The answer, Kelly, is?
I've got several. 970 meters from the two soccer stadiums, 11 miles as the crow flies from the Giants to the A's, 7 miles from Yankees to Mets, and 8.2 miles from White Sox to Cubs.
Bronx and Queens, baby.
There we go.
Yes, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good work, Kelly.
They posted Rookie of the Year odds in the NFL. We'll look at those next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey there, Kelly Bidlin. Have you checked out the new VSiN.com?
Oh, I sure have.
You know what's on there today? Zach Cohen on the total number of wide receivers selected in the first round. Eric Eager was just chiming in on that, as was Drew a little earlier. Adam Burke still got that piece up. Should you bet against the White Sox in every game? I have to read this. I'm very curious about this. And then mock drafts, as you said, Tim Murray with his mock draft. Ooh. Matt Eumanns with his mock draft. It's all at VSiN.com, everybody. Brand new. Anything you could possibly want under the sun. NHL, ATP, WTA. The three letters. They're all there. VSiN.com. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. People are pretty fascinated by this. By the way, it doesn't count if it's the Lakers-Clippers who play in the same arena. And it doesn't count if it's the Giants and the Jets. That doesn't count. We're just brought up. Paul Carr brought up that those two stadiums were less than a mile apart. Jason Stark, not that Jason Stark, but another one, says, ask and you shall receive. He says it's a tie. The Cubs and White Sox 10 miles apart, as are the Yankees and Mets. But you brought up the Knicks and the Nets.
Yeah, I got 7.6 actually on that. I mean, hey, I'm going off of this unscientific Google searches, by the way.
We got to walk it off.
What did I say during the break? I can't wait for five fans to jump in I live in Chicago. No.
There's no way.
I'm sure you guys know more. But yeah, from the quick search I had, it was Yankees and Mets were just a tad bit closer, actually, than Nets and Knicks.
Nailed it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Mark Hansen. Lifelong Brewer fan here, Gil, who did not tell your Guardians bet, but was perfectly fine taking the loss yesterday for the good of your wager. Good luck. How nice are people, by the way, with this?
Oh, yeah.
Super nice.
It's awesome. I mean, things like this get people excited when a season starts. I wish I would have made that.
But you see, these are the normal folks who, they've got no skin in the game, so they root you on, which is what I do for everybody else. It is that odd person who like actively roots against. She's like, I'm sorry, did you win money if I lose? Like, I don't get it. Like, what did I do to you? By the way, let me just say this about that. So the Guardians back in action today. They're taking on Tanner Houck and the Boston Red Sox, this time at home. Houck was the guy who beat him in an hour 49 minutes. That's their last loss.
Right.
I think they'll be ready for him today. But so here's the deal with the Yankees losing to the A's yesterday. First time the Guardians control their own destiny in this bet. Now, what does that mean? That means if they were to win their last seven, there's nothing any other team could do about it. Now, can you expect to go win your last seven? Of course not, especially when you got three against the Braves coming up. But right now, the good news is they control their destiny. The bad news is these other teams, like, they can't. These other teams are a who's who of the of the best teams in baseball, the consensus best teams in baseball, that they just can't completely shake. The Braves are 15-6. The Orioles are 15-7. The Yankees are 15-8. The Phillies are 15-8. The Brewers 14-7. Now remember, the Guardians are 16-6. The tiebreaker, at least where I bet it at Circa, is if they tie for the most wins. First tiebreaker is fewest losses. Second tiebreaker is run differential. Right now, they're looking good in both tiebreakers. Here at the beginning of the bet, and I made this bet again. We talked about it on air the day before the season. I made these bets. I made this bet on the Guardians at 65-1 to have the most wins in March and April. A lot of people tailed. That's why I keep bringing it up, because we're sort of doing this as a group. And I went through all the series in March and April, what I projected they needed to do on the left, what they've actually done on the right, and pretty much it's been dead on. I think we're like a game behind. We're actually a game and a half behind because we lost a game to rain.
Right.
That game looms really large with the Yankees because the Yankees could still overcome it. I'll tell you who it doesn't loom large with: the Braves. The Braves are the only team unluckier, quote unquote, in this bet than the Guardians. They've lost two games to rain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that the Minnesota one that got rained?
We lost a game
to
Minnesota.
So you did have projected to go 2-1, though.
That's correct. But so what I projected them to do, so I was like, okay, they got to go 23-7. When I added all that up on the left, I was like, they got to go 23-7 to win this. They're not going to have 30 games. They're going to have 29 now. So would 22-7 do it? Yeah, 22-7 would do it, because at this point they'd go 6-1.
Right.
That would do it. Let's do my thing at the end where I said they'd go 2-1 in this series and then 2-2 against Atlanta and Houston. If they went 4-3 as I have it projected,
you're toast.
Would the Guardians win? Probably not. Unless two of those were against Atlanta. And then in that case, maybe. But I guess what I'm saying is just keep winning, right? Just keep winning. You got to, here against Boston, you got to go at least 2-1. 3-0 would be awesome, but you can't go 0-3, 1-2. But what I'm, again, I mean, no matter what at this point, spectacular bet, but we got to get this home.
I mean, you knew it was going to be tight at the end, regardless.
Oh, for right? sure.
I mean, it's a month and change of baseball, right?
For sure. Keep in mind, we lost Shane Bieber as well. Like, everything that could have possibly gone against us has here, but the Guardians have answered the call each and every night. They are a slight dog against Tanner Houck tonight, but I do think they second time around with Tanner Houck, it's a much different story tonight at Progressive Field. So let's go, Guardians.
Let's go.
Just borrowed them for the month, Adam Burke. Promise I'll give them back. Ladies and gentlemen, odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL. How about this?
I know. Posted already.
Nice job, DraftKings. Caleb Williams, the presumptive number one pick in Thursday's NFL draft, plus 250. Marvin Harrison Jr., can we call him the presumptive fourth pick in this year's NFL draft?
I hope so.
Maybe. Plus 550. Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels are both 8-1. Expected to go in the top 10, both Jaden, perhaps number 2. Drake May 10-1. Roma Dunze 11-1. J.J. McCarthy 16-1. Brock Bowers 22-1. Brian Thomas Jr. 25-1. And Michael Penix Jr. 28-1. These are at DraftKings.
I had to make sure to include that last one because I thought that was interesting.
This is one of these conversations of bookmakers that I'd love to eavesdrop
yes.
on.
Yeah, good like, call.
All right, how you guys come up with these? Because...
Well,
it's so random.
So I was kind of having that same thought as I was looking at these and typing these up, right? Like Neighbors, I think you have to shade a little shorter because if he ends, I mean, if you're talking a Chargers team with Justin Herbert, he ends up on the Chargers and might be one of the go-to, I mean, he's going to be one of the go-to wide receivers. Like that's a guy like that is going to jump whichever wide receiver, if it happens to be a wide receiver at 5,
right?
Like that guy, you've got to shade a little shorter than everybody.
Okay.
Else.
So I'll accept that. I see you and I raise you that then you also have to shade Marvin Harrison Jr. a little longer than you might have otherwise, because he's going to end up with the Cardinals.
Agreed.
If all goes as planned, right? So plus 550 is probably a mite longer than you otherwise would have gotten him. Let me just ask you this. Is there a bet you would make here? Because for me, the answer is a resounding no.
Because even if, so even I'm thinking, like, I wanted to say that about Neighbors because of exactly what you said, right?
Yeah.
What's the conversation when you're building these? I would imagine that's part of the conversation, but how much shorter, let's say Neighbors ends up on the Chargers. How much shorter is that number really from 8 to 1 now? Probably not much.
Okay. Now let's rearrange that question. If I made you bet, right? Like it said, okay, Kelly Bidlin, you must wager on one of these players. I think there is an argument, a cogent argument for two of them.
Jaden Daniels.
That is correct. He's one of them. And the other is Jaden Daniels, because he will be the starting quarterback of a team that actually has skill position players in place. Scary Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin.
I mean, I mean, you're gambling now, but I'd probably go, I mean, I'd go J.J. McCarthy next if he ends up on the Vikings.
You know who my number two would be? Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Because if he does end up on the Jets at number 10, as some believe he will, it's a packed offense with Aaron Rodgers at the helm. And so if Aaron Rodgers decides this is my dude, 22-1 would be the
I don't hate that way. Well, and really, what's the... I mean, Brock Bowers, we've talked about this a lot. If you knew where some of these guys were going, oh, man, you could shape all of your draft bets, right? Bowers, McCarthy.
Like, but I think that's why you bet it before the draft.
No, right.
So, you're going to bet it.
But like, how many teams have you really heard him linked to? I mean, the two that have been the biggest have seemingly, from the start, have been Bengals and Jets. So to your point of it being a good offensive, a good rookie of the year bet,
I think those are the, and by the way, so people are like, you know, first of all, Caleb Williams is too short, and it's the Bears. But I do think those are the two. Jaden Daniels and Brock Bowers, to me, are the two you can make a case for.
Yeah, so like, so that's the – it's not long enough – like okay, I have Neighbors 5. Those odds aren't long enough for me to want to sprinkle on that now. But I think if you were someone dead set on Brock Bowers going 10th overall to the Jets, I don't think that's a bad number to bet now.
And Daniel,
that one will get short.
And Daniels, because he's a quarterback, and again, as I said this, I know a lot of people don't think the commodes are very good, but you do have McLaurin, you do have a backfield, Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. You could get a solid offensive tackle with 36 and 40 packaging them. So it's not like you are bereft on offense at all.
Yeah, actually, that one just seems oddly long to me, considering quarterbacks. I mean, quarterback going to have a leg up in this competition always.
It's not just McLaurin, it's Jahan Dotson, it's De'Ami Brown. I mean, they got players. So I think those are the two. But am I making a wager? I am not, largely because it's not available here. But even if it was, I don't know that I would.
Drake May, I can't wait to see where you line up.
I have no idea. No idea. You know how I ask people, like, what do you know for sure? What do you know you don't know for sure? Where Drake May will end up. Baseball with Paul Sporer on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits.
Split bets.
The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits. Start making smarter bets today. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game, by the way. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish.
At Barcanada, in Spanish.
The barrage here at the D.
Whatever happened to the SAP button on your remote, right?
Oh, that's right. Hit the SAP button on your remote. You'll listen to the show in Spanish. Can you imagine if we had some Spanish guys
awesome. Just going,
and all of a sudden they'd be like, Guardians! This Los Guardianos.
I worked for a whole week, Gil. I was borrowed for a week by the ESPN Deportes office in Miami.
Were you really?
It was a tough week. It was a tough week to get through.
You understood nothing?
I mean, like, I understood some. I had to do some editing work, though, and I'm like, I don't know if this is a clean edit right here or not.
I once had an audition at MTV Latino in Miami.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That also did not go well. So we have that in common.
Let's just say I was way more confident in myself than I should have been. I don't know if you feel the same about yourself, but I was very confident.
Oh, at that age? Come on. I just thought the world was coming to me. I was like, yeah, sure.
Like, I lived in Venezuela for a year. No problemo.
Jason Stark. Ask and you shall receive. It's a tie. He says the Cubs and White Sox are 10 miles apart as the Yankees. Oh, I already read that one. Jamie Racio. I don't know why you like this betting stuff, Gilly, but let's... He goes, L blank G Guardians. Gilly's mom voice. Oh, she would say, "Who are the Guardians? Why do you like them all of a sudden?" B's bets. Today's Guardians Red Sox game may have some weather issues as well today. Ugh, don't say that. Hold on. See, this is the other thing about this bet. I have been so locked into weather reports for fear of losing a game. How about if we lose it that way?
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Cleveland weather. Today is... Oh, no, he's right. The precipitation begins tonight now. Oh, no. So we have about a 50% chance of rain tonight. That should hit during the game. And then tomorrow, it is a tomorrow again chance of rain. So we could be looking at a doubleheader situation or losing a game or whatever. Oh, I don't know. See, this is the thing. It's not good enough to be good. You have to avoid the weather. And part of the handicap of this was Cleveland didn't have a home game till April 8th. That was my way of sort of minimizing weather impact. We got clipped in Minnesota. And now here we are. Maybe we're going to get clipped at the end of the Cleveland homestand. Ah. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Sporer joins us at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R, on Twitter. He works at FanGraphs, the baseball Bible for nerds like me and nerds across the land, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Sponsored by the Progressive Guest Line. No coincidence that, of course, the Guardians play Progressive Field. Paulie, can you make the weather go away in Cleveland? Let's start there, please.
Boy, I wish I could. That sounds treacherous. That's the worst when you're dealing with an outside factor like that, too, right? You know, you got everything aligned with the talent and the players that you want, and then you have to deal with the weather. And so that part is pretty nerve-wracking. Hopefully it stays away for you. And who are they playing right now? I can't remember.
Boston Red Sox, Tanner Houck again today against Lively. Houck against Lively, almost a coin flip of a game.
I wonder how many more games they have, too. Like, how aggressively are they going to try to get it in right now as opposed to pushing it? I think there's more off days now, which kind of makes them more inclined to maybe push it. So that's not cool. But, here, fingers crossed for you. I'm hoping.
Well, the sad part is we had the off day yesterday, so we didn't. You know, it would have been great if the series was yesterday, today, and then Wednesday, and then you had the Thursday. But instead, the off day was yesterday. So now Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you lose a game, you're going to lose a game because they got to play in Atlanta on Friday. And so, and the other trippy part about this bet, if you will, is that unlike winning a division or a series or a pennant or a championship, the teams have no idea that there's a bet, or the league has no idea a bet's taking place because there's no prize, right? There's no prize. So you're operating in this weird vacuum that they don't even know about. It's also a trippy element to it. What has been the trippiest, since I'll use that word, the trippiest part about this baseball season thus far for you, a little more than 20 games in, which is 1/8 of the season, what has stood out to you as, wow, that is not something I necessarily saw coming?
I mean, maybe the group of upstarts, you know, there was some popularity for a lot of them coming into the season, although not the Guardians, actually. They were kind of overshadowed by the Tigers and Royals, both teams playing pretty well there. You look at a team like the Brewers. I think both central leaders are a bit surprising. They were both kind of cast off. You know, people getting on the Pirates-Reds train as the upstarts in the central, with maybe the Cubs as the favorite, throwing the Brewers off to the side, and then the Cardinals. You know, if you liked them, you were kind of in. If you didn't like what they did with their pitching, you were kind of out. And then, like I said, same thing in the AL, where it was like Twins are the favorite, Royals, Tigers are the upstarts, Guardians off to the side, White Sox, you know, doing whatever they're doing in, by themselves over there, losing tons of games. So I think it's really that. And might just be the weather. The ball seems a bit dead right now. You're not getting... The early results are suggesting that the standard results that you would get from particular barrels and well-struck balls is not matching up, which hints at a perhaps deader ball, which isn't cool. I don't know why we would want that. So we know the MLB is always messing with the ball. We just don't know to what degree, and that's the frustrating part.
And they could change it at any point, as we say, right?
Exactly.
At all times, right? So that makes, you know, sweeping generalizations about such things perilous, because you might be right, and then the next week they're like, oh, new batch of balls kind of thing. By the way,
exactly.
you hinted at the White Sox, or you touched on them, I should say, 3-19. We've seen bad starts before, certainly.
Yes.
And I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, because we've seen these before, and teams manage to get to 45, 50 wins at the very least, they will too, in your opinion?
Probably. It's the safe bet, right? Like, it's a bad team. It's definitely a bad team. There's no two ways around it. But didn't we have one of these last year? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
But we had one and they got out of it. Maybe it was just Oakland. I can't remember if there was one besides Oakland. But yeah, the safe bet is that, yes, things will get better. 3-19 is obviously horrendous. I don't think they're a 136 win percentage team. That's a 22 win.
Yeah. It will. By the way, it was Oakland, and Oakland ended up with 56 wins. With 50 wins on the button,
which is still terrible.
Right.
But 2.5x what we're looking at right now, or, you know, just about 2x, or just over 2x, I should say, of what we're looking at right now for Chicago. So it will get better. It won't be good, Chicago fans. I'm not going to delude you, but it'll get better.
Are you worried at all about the Dodgers, who are 13-11? And when I say worried, let's put that in relative terms, meaning worried enough that they won't be elite, that they won't get to, say, 95 wins. Let's put it like that.
Not really. No, like, you know, they kind of build their team to kind of battle the 162 and kind of morph and, you know, ebb and flow. I feel like we've seen this recently too, maybe some slower starts by powerhouse teams. And then they get to the level that we expect them to be at. No, I'm not particularly worried. Like, the pitching depth coming in, we kind of knew, like, okay, this is not the roster, the rotation that they're going to have in October probably. Yeah. And of course, Bobby Miller being hurt is not great, but, you know, Kershaw is obviously expected back at some point. Miller himself is. Bueller's working his way back. They can always add. They still have an insanely deep system. You know, signing Will Smith means that guys like Dalton Rushing, Diego Cartaya, and Tyron Lorenzo, are prospects that are going to be available. Those are all three catching prospects, big time guys. They can go out and get whoever they want. So bottom line, no, I'm not worried about the Dodgers, and I don't think that they're like primed for the picking. I think that they're going to work their way through the $162 to make sure that they've got the seed that they want and then go from there.
Yeah. Check adjusted season win totals for all of these. They're not currently up that I see at DraftKings. But I would just say, you know, 20 plus games in, it's about as to form of a baseball season as you could imagine. Because again, as I said earlier, Baltimore, the Yankees, 15 wins each, right? Atlanta with 15 wins, the Phillies with 15 wins, Milwaukee with 14. So it's like the teams you thought would be there are there, right? So it's about what it should be. DFS, as we close out here, what do you got today?
You know, I'm probably looking at some of the top end starters. You got Marcus Stroman facing the A's, which is always nice. Grayson Rodriguez is on the road, but that Angels team, just avoid Trout. You're looking pretty good. We're talking about the White Sox, Pablo Lopez against them. So I'm probably taking one of the aces, throw Logan Webb in there too. If I'm at DraftKings, I might double up and then try to play cheap in Colorado. You got San Diego and Colorado out there. So I'm playing it pretty chalky today with some aces and as much Colorado as I can get. Got to watch out for that weather. You talk about your Cleveland weather. There's potentially some St. Louis, some Chicago. So you want to be ducking the weather a little bit too. Colorado itself, you also have to be careful there. So if you want to pivot off Colorado, you can find your hitters elsewhere. But go with the aces, in my opinion.
Talk me out of Logan Webb, Cy Young at 10-1.
I'm not gonna. I love Logan Webb. I think he's fantastic and could absolutely win a Cy Young.
Okay. That's what I needed to hear. Might add that. Thank you, Paulie. Great talking to you.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
Can't make the weather go away in Cleveland. Go away, rain. At least stay till tomorrow like you were supposed to. My God. We'll finish as we started with the NBA. Kelly's thoughts next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds, boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSIN. That's VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jason H11. Remember in the movie Major League where the Indians took a piece of clothing off the cardboard cutout of the owner after every victory? Get the Wishnev cutout set up. That is, Jason, that is truly disgusting.
Great tweet. just pulling back the curtain here, this was one of those situations where the joke wasn't as funny when I had to explain it to Gil because he didn't remember the scene.
I was like, well, laughed. Yeah, well, I laughed because of why Wishnev, of all people. Matthew Mayberry.
It's a great tweet.
It is a great tweet. Matthew Mayberry. Was that the best doubleheader ever or what? Oh, yeah, we've said it many times this morning. He goes, and I had a Knicks-Nuggets moneyline parlay. I got blank and goosebumps. That was unreal, and I almost feel bad for LeBron.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for LeBron. But good on you hitting that parlay. That
what a lightning rod LeBron is, because here's the next tweet. This is from Martle. He goes, I know you have to watch these NBA games entirely because it's your job, but I can't take the LeBron love fest. Hope your mute button isn't broken. Time for bed.
Okay.
And then trust the glove. I appreciate the way Drew's head works on betting. More importantly, he can explain it effectively and usefully. Not the norm of very bright individuals. A little shout out for Drew earlier in the show.
I will say he was he's cracking me up a little bit with the Mavericks. He was all over the Mavericks. I think he saw game one and was like, nope, no more. I'm good. That's where he was.
Was Luka busting on his teammates for missing shots?
Man, I don't know. There's a lot going on there. I am on the Mavericks tonight, but oh boy, they got to pick it up from the other night. That was a disaster all around. I mean, Luka still put up big numbers. Clippers defended him pretty well.
That game was done in a blink.
It was done. And it's everything that we've praised the Mavericks for these past couple months just came back. And it's like, hey, there's Daniel Gafford from the Washington Wizards again. Like,
Wizards great. Daniel Gafford.
There's P.J. Washington, who was rotting on the Hornets for a while.
Gafford got hurt, didn't he?
He did get hurt and come back, but still, he wasn't great.
Liked him when he was in Washington, by the way. He was always solid.
All those role guys got to step up. I mean, Zubats dominated the rotation of big guys that the Mavs have, and Zubats was in there for a long time. Dustin and I were on the air. He was betting a bunch of overs on his props. I was kind of surprised by that because I thought Zubats was going to get played off the court a little bit.
Zubats 20-15, Zubats.
Yeah, he was dominant. I really don't think... I mean, it was kind of everything I said before the game ended up happening. Where I'm like, if you're on the Clippers, James Harden's got to play like an all-star again at his best game he's had in like months. And he's got to keep that up. I do believe he's got to keep that up. Russell Westbrook has to be big off the bench, which he was in game one. And Zubat's got to keep doing that down low. And Paul George has got to add alongside.
We're dancing around the most important thing. Kawhi Leonard is a game-time decision.
Yeah, I'm not expecting him.
Questionable is the official listing.
I mean, that number keeps going down. It is it was 2.5, 3 most places at open. It is 1.5 most 1.5 or 2 everywhere now. So
I see Mavericks -2 now, which was -1.5 earlier in the show.
Oh, okay. So wherever you're looking, bounce the other way actually. That's where that number is at now. I'm not expecting him to go, but even if he goes, what can you fully expect from him with what he's dealing through too?
If he doesn't play
down
to one at circa now. Let me just ask you this. If he doesn't play, and let's say the Mavericks come back and win this series, what is the Kawhi Leonard current legacy? Because remember, the championship he won was also against a Warriors team that people conveniently forget lost everybody while it was happening. Right, KD, Clay.
Oh, dude, I don't want to talk about it. I lost so much money on that series. Oh, gosh. That was one of those, like, all-time. It was a good NBA regular season for me, like an all-time NBA playoffs betting. And then I was like, I'm putting almost everything on the Warriors in the finals.
Think about that. The Warriors who won four championships.
Yeah.
If they just hold a 3-1 lead against Cleveland and then they don't have the catastrophic injuries against the Raptors, they win 6 maybe.
Yep, they do. They definitely do.
God bless.
I mean, look, you can't take away the guy is an NBA champion. Man, this maybe there is Kawhi Leonard news coming out right now because this is flashing in front of my eyes. Everywhere is like 1-1.5 now.
Let's just ask about the 3-9. Minnesota, 3-point favorites against Phoenix, trying to go up 2-0. Milwaukee, 1-point favorites against the Pacers, trying to go up 2. Are you surprised that's only 1, by the way, tonight? On the Bucks?
No, in that series without Giannis, I'm not really interested in. I did bet game one on the Indiana side, but oh boy, did they not look prepared at all for that game in game one. So
that was one of those games where everybody kept betting Indiana, to the point where people who weren't involved were like, well, time to bet the Bucks.
That is very true. I know I know multiple people that did that too, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to a point where you're catching like a point and a half with Milwaukee, and you're like, all right, this has swung too far. That one I've got. I've got nothing on that game tonight. I would, Suns Timberwolves would agree with Drew. I'd probably lean to the over there. It's not going to be a bet for me. Lean the over, but
he said he's got 220 and it's 211 and a half.
Yeah. I mean, this is, look, we've seen a wave of unders so far in the NBA playoffs, and even going back to the play-in. I know we were talking about during the play-in game. So these totals keep getting dropped down. I mean, last night there was big movement in the totals. Markets coming down. So I would lean over over in that game as well. Not going to be a bet for me. That's the one in the series I have that game to go over 5.5. So I'm interested to see how these next couple games play out. Can the Suns, you know, can the Timberwolves hold serve at home? And then what does it look like when we go back to Phoenix? I'm expecting the Suns to wake up and be competitive here at some point, but Minnesota might take care of business again tonight.
So let me just ask it this way. Of the three games tonight, T-Wolves trying to go up 2-0. They're favored by 3. Bucks trying to go up 2-0. They're favored by 1. Mavericks favored by 2 as the Clippers try to go up 2-0. And then tomorrow, Celtics favored by 15, OKC favored by 7.5. Who is the you're not allowed to say the Mavericks, because I know you're in the tank for them, but of the other four games, team most likely to knot the series up at one game apiece is?
Oh man, it's got to be Suns or Pacers. I'm gonna go Pacers.
I thought you were gonna say Pacers.
Yeah, I'll go Pacers,
which is consistent with the line.
Yeah, right. It's got to be Suns or Pacers. I do think tomorrow night, like I have a feeling you might end on up on it before me, but 7.5 with New Orleans after what you saw the other night.
Give me that.
I'm not going anywhere with that game. I think if anything, you'd have to consider taking the points instead of laying it from what you saw the other night. With both those teams, Heat Celtics gross. I'm in on the Mavs tonight. One game's not going to scare me away too much yet. I think the Clippers might have figured out some things with the Mavericks, but you got to show me that more than just one game. So I'll be on them tonight. And if they lose, and I still think there's an edge there, I might be adding back on the Mavericks series price.
By the way, we didn't mention this today. Back to the NFL draft for a second. I did add, and they wouldn't let you bet a lot on it, but I did add enough to make it awesome. A three-player exacta at the top and a five-player exacta at the top. So I did have the fun bet on Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, Marvin Harrison 3, which pays 40-1. This was at BetMGM.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
And in the top fives, I went Caleb, Jaden, Harrison, Drake, and then a and then on one side, Joe Alt, on the other side, Malik Nabers. Those were 200-1. So if those hit, it doesn't matter what else happens in this draft. But those are just fun ones that I added yesterday after the discussion I had with Drew and Luke. And before that, we had the discussion with Samich on a numbers game yesterday. And so I don't expect these to win, right? I expect the other ones that I already have to win. But I will tell you the one that I categorize as one of my friskier bets that now I'm actually starting to think might hit is Alts to the Chargers at 5.
Yeah.
Which was the very first conviction I had in this draft, because I'm like, he's telling you, Harbaugh is telling you what he wants. So we'll see.
I mean, that we've said it every time we talk about it. It's wide receiver, offensive line, or trade now, right? So, and they're in the bad position of if there's a trade that happens ahead of them, well, then they're probably staying put and drafting one of those guys. This is fascinating because I like the Marvin Harrison to go 3. So I ended up betting that. I ended up betting that a little bit after Michael Montesano texted you, right, and said that. Ended up betting that, but then I added the 40-1 because I'm with you where you're like, okay, if I already have Jaden Daniels.
If you know the first two, why not take a shot?
If I already bet Jaden Daniels too, you might as well add on a 40-1. So I'm with you there, but what's really the scenario where that plays out, right? Like New England somehow just gets stuck. Right, like they can't.
If they have Jaden Daniels rated way higher than Drake May, and they really don't have their heart set on Drake May, and no offer is knocking their socks off, that's the scenario.
They get stuck right there, and yeah, I guess they just go with the best player on the board, and that would be Marvin Harrison. That's what we're kind of hoping for with that one.
I mean, honestly, like, do you want to draft a quarterback with that team right now and just to get him killed?
No. No, but yes, I do, because I want someone learning from Jacoby Brissett.
Okay, that's fair. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.